Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Riches. Welcome to our B2B Roundtable call. This morning is Friday, November 1st, 2019. And we've got we've got a great call lined up for you. That's the cool thing about this roundtable call is there's not much of an agenda. I am going to cover a couple of quick announcements, some things that I want you to be aware of since we are the first day of the month. But other than that, we want to hear from you and what questions you have. And that's kind of the idea behind this roundtable call. So I'm really excited. I'm joined here this morning by several of our top producers and top leaders. I know we've got Mr. Brian Fahili on the line with us this morning. We've got Miss Judy Thompson from New Mexico.
I didn't marry Adam.
Fair enough. What did I say? Judy Thompson? Judy Johnson, excuse me. I was looking at two different names, and Mr. Adam Thompson from Kentucky. So I'm excited to be joined by all of them here this morning, and thank you to all of you who are joining us here live as well. Hey, exciting things happening in the world of Legal Shield. I don't know if you've seen this yet. This is a brand new announcement for today. It's literally for November, And there's actually two different incentives that they're rolling out for Business Solutions Associates in the month of November. First and foremost, any premium that you write from today the 1st through the 10th of November, that's going to count double for you toward the Riviera Maya trip. So be thinking about that. Any premium that you can get in, any business that you can write from today until November 10th, it's just going to count double towards that Riviera Maya trip next July. So we're really excited about that. Hey, listen, I don't know where you live, what the weather's like, but in North Texas where I live, it's gotten cold over the last week. And so, sitting on the beach with my friends, chilling out, sounds pretty good right about now, and that's exactly what a bunch of people are going to be doing. A bunch of Business Solutions Associates are going to be winning that Riviera Maya trip next July. So get excited about that. Get all the premium that you can in by November 10th. I'm super excited about that promotion. And then the second promotion that they rolled out just this morning is This one applies to one person in the company, and I want to challenge our team to win this. I want this one person to be somebody in our organization. But the top group opener for November will automatically win the trip to Riviera Maya in July 2020. So, that normal contest period is like 6 months. I'm not looking at the flyer right now, but it's like 5 or 6 months normally that you have to compete for that. Well, you can win it right now in November by being the top group opener. And I know what some people think when they hear that. They think, well, if the person that opens the most groups in November is probably going to win the trip anyway. And you're exactly right. That usually would happen. So what they've decided to do this time is if you are the top group opener in November, and you win the trip through the normal route, then they'll just add an additional 3 nights to your stay. So instead of 5 nights, four nights, you're going to be there for 7 nights at the Hard Rock Hotel there in Riviera Maya. So there are some rules on that. The groups have to have a minimum of 200 premium dollars to qualify, and you have to have 3 groups to qualify for that at least. So make sure to check out the flyer on lsengage.com for those details. And I want to be clear on the first promotion. When I say double, it counts double. Your premium written from now until November 10th counts double. That's just towards the Riviera Maya promotion. That's not towards, ED or Performance Club or anything like that. It's just towards that trip. But again, hey, we're trying to get people excited about that Riviera Maya trip next July, and so someone's going to win it here in the month of November, and I know that a lot of people on our team are going to set themselves up real pretty for that trip in these first 10 days of the month by getting a bunch of premium in. So I'm excited. We've got there are other things that they're going to be rolling out most likely before the end of the year, but those two promotions are what we have right now. And so I just want to make sure that our team had the head start. I'm going to be doing a Facebook Live here in about an hour for the entire company. But I said, you know, hey, our folks that are on this B2B roundtable call, they're going to get first shot at this morning. So I'm excited, and I hope that you take advantage of these promotions. At the end of the day, whether you're writing business because it helps you win a trip, or whether you're writing business because you get residual income or upfront advance commissions, or whether you're writing business because you know at the end of the day that the real winner is the members, or are the members that you're signing up, because they're benefiting more than you and I could ever benefit from writing that business. If they use their membership, they're going to save a whole lot more money than we're ever going to make. I don't care why you're writing the business, but the key is, let's go write more business. Let's go help more families. Let's go protect more people, empower more people, and I hope that we can get serious about those goals here in the success team. Again, we've got some incredible leaders on the line this morning. I'm so excited to hear from each of them. I want to open up the call here just with a question that's been on my mind lately, and I would love to get their perspective on this. And then we'll open up the line, so be thinking about any questions that you might ask. You've got some top producers on the line this morning, so what questions do you have for them? What advice are you looking for? Specifically, what advice are you looking for that can help your business? And if I open up the lines and nobody asks a question, we'll call it quits early. That's fine with me too. But I will say this, you're not going to have chances like this to have top producers on the line very often. So take advantage of that. Be thinking right now about what if I had Adam Thompson or Brian Fahili or Judy Johnston, and I have them alone for a few minutes, what question would I ask them? If it was just them and me, what question would I ask them? Be thinking about that, because that's really what we have this morning. We have the chance to hear from these folks. The question I want to start off, though, with is about this season that we're entering into, which I'll call the holiday season. Obviously, we've got a lot of different holidays coming up over the next couple of months. People are celebrating those holidays. I've often said that November and December are great months to write business if you approach them the right way and if you prepare well. I know many of you have been making prospecting calls. Many of you have been meeting with decision makers and getting groups lined up. We have got a huge slew of enrollments, as far as our team goes, coming up over the next 8 weeks here as we get into this holiday season. That's exciting. Not only that, but there are groups that we have not met yet, that we have not contacted yet, that we haven't even prospected yet, and those groups are out there, and they're waiting for us, and we're going to contact some of those. We're going to prospect some of those this week and next week, and we're going to set those up for enrollment before the end of the year here. And so it's a great time to be writing business, but my question is, what strategies do some of our top producers employ here in the months of November and December? As we get into these holiday season, this holiday season, what do you do, and I'm talking now to Judy and Brian and Adam, what do you guys do to take full advantage of these months? Is there anything special that you do? Is there any special approach that you might take with a group, either in an enrollment or in a decision-maker setting? How do you close business before the end of the year? Let me open it up to you guys, and I would love to hear y'all's thoughts.
Mike, it's Adam. I'd like to go before my call drops. I'm in and out of service. I'll just keep dialing back in as it keeps coming back. But something I learned from you and from the team is just to kind of be first to market. And what I mean is, assuming we're all going to be reaching out to our groups and decision makers and folks that haven't said yes yet, anyone in the funnel, they're expecting 16 salespeople to call each day at the standard. They're expecting salespeople to say happy holidays and Merry Christmas and so on and so forth. What they're not expecting is today, Monday, Tuesday, next week, they're not expecting a Thanksgiving or a Christmas gift now. Stand out, be that handwritten card, if you will. Take that, Scott Brooks and you and different folks have taught us over and over and over, get a bag of bows for a dollar and 12 little what are they called? Welch's grape juice. Little, looks like wine bottles, but it's just grape juice. It's a Welch's grape juice. It's a wonderful gift. Get something in front of these decision makers now, in front of these groups right now, and be the one that stands out so that over these next two business months, they're going to give you yeses that normally you wouldn't get until January. If you roll up there on December 23rd and say Merry Christmas with a box of chocolate, that's wonderful. But how much more is it going to resonate with them if you're doing it right now and being the first one to market with the holiday well wishes? And I'll turn it back to you.
Yeah, I love that. That is fantastic. Great stuff. Judy, Brian, do you guys have any thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, Mike, I was going to say I go right along with what Adam said. This is the time, and that is something that you taught me from day one, and we did it together for several years. But the minute Halloween ends, that's the time to start going in and meeting with these people and bringing them a little gift, no matter what it is. I always dress up in my traditional big turkey costume and go from door to door. But no, I'm just kidding. But this is the time, folks. Companies, like Adam was saying, next month, companies are expecting that. They're expecting their vendors and everybody to drop by with a platter of cookies and everything. But if you'll do it in November, they're not expecting it. You'll be the first ones. You'll be the one that's on their mind. You'll be the one that when you leave out, they'll go, hey, that was pretty cool. That guy brought us by this. But next month, you know, everybody's going to be bringing up. Every job I ever worked at, every job my wife's ever had, she always says the same thing. As it gets close to Christmas, they're all talking about, oh, we had to throw so much stuff away in the kitchen today that, you know, all these vendors keep bringing cookies by and cakes by and blah, blah, blah. It's just going to waste. But if you're in there in November doing this, believe me, it makes a huge difference. And I guarantee inevitably you will land something for either the end of November or the first part of December that will have your fourth quarter end real good. So, like I said, I agree 100%. And it doesn't matter what you take them, folks, but this is the time to go in there with something. You don't have to spend a fortune on it. Keep it cheap, but keep it nice. You know, you want to make that impression. And like I said, perfect timing right now. This fourth quarter's always been good if you'll work it. If you don't work it, fourth quarter can be hazardous to you because by about that third week in December, you're going to hear, well, just come back after the first of the year. Well, just come back after the first of the year. But if you'll do it now through the month of November, man, you'll squeeze up enrollments right till boom, they get their days off for Christmas. And I've had that happen. Mike will tell you a story of. It was like my second year in the business, I believe it was, Mike. I can't remember. It's been so long ago now. But I was desperate. I was running out of time, and I went and called on this school, and they had 26 employees. And I went in there, and I had brought in a tray of cookies and stuff. But, I mean, it was like 2 or 3 days before they were fixing the break for Christmas. And my wife and I, we didn't have much money for Christmas that year. Things were really tight. And I went in there and met with those folks, and boom, next thing I know, 24 of them signed up. And I left out there and called Mike, and I said, hey, is getting 24 out of 26 pretty good? He said, yeah, it's pretty good. And then he hung up, and he got to thinking about it. He called me back, and he said, where are you right now? And I said, well, I'm out in Arcadia, Louisiana. He said, well, come to Shreveport. I want to buy you a steak for lunch. You just made me a ton of money. So, you know, this is the perfect time, folks, to get in there and open those. And the reason I brought this out, it was November when I set this group up for those last couple of days in December. And if I hadn't have done it in November, I wouldn't have got it. I'd have heard what everybody hears, and that is, come see me after the first of the year, you know, when the teachers get back. But because I set that up just before they were ready to go on their break, it made us have a tremendous Christmas that year. It was really exciting. And that's it.
Yeah, I remember that well. That was exciting. And I remember kind of trying to temper your expectations. You were going in there right before Christmas. And I was thinking, you know, this is probably not going to go very well. And it shows me for doubting. 24 out of 26, pretty dang good enrollment. I'm sure, and that was, I don't remember if that was your first year or your second year, but it was when you were new. I remember that. But I remember, or I would bet that some of those people are still on. I bet some of those people still have their membership.
Oh, they are. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. Every year I go in to write, the new hires for that school, one, the principal's still on the plan.
Right.
The secretary there in the office is still on the plan. And every year I go in, they're very nice, they're very cordial, and they always set me up in an office and call the new hires in one at a time so I can meet with them. But it paid off. It really did. And like I said, it was November when I set that up.
Yeah.
And I was really getting nervous, folks, getting close to Christmas. And my wife was, oh, my gosh, you know, we're not going to be able to get this. We're not going to be able to, you know, do this and do that. And what are we going to do for a big Christmas meal? It was tight. And all of a sudden, boom, that happened that day. I'll never forget it. But anyhow, November's the month, guys.
Amen. I want to just piggyback on what Adam and Brian said, and then I'll go to Judy real quick. But on, you know, gifting people here in the month of November, I agree with that. I think that's a great idea. Certainly that applies to new contacts. Also, guys, think about, you know, who have you met with this year? Who's a decision maker that you met with? And we know it's not going to be 100% of those meetings that move forward at that point. You're going to get in that follow-up game with people. And you know, that's why we say the fortune is in the follow-up. I'm a big believer that you want to close as many of those on the spot as you can. But, you know, I've been doing this for a while. My number is only 25%, which means that 75% of those decision makers, I don't close on the spot. So after doing this for some time, you're going to have a pipeline. You're going to have some decision makers that you've met with that has not moved forward yet. Those are great decision makers to go back into. Maybe you met with them last month or the month before. Maybe it was earlier this year. Go back into them this month, bring them one of those gifts. You know, number one, put your face back in front of them. They remember you. Number two, if you're doing it in November, like Ryan and Adam said, you're beating the rush. You know, you're probably going to be the first gift that they get in the holiday season. And those are some of those groups that they'll say, you know, I've been thinking about you. We need to have you in. And you'll get those scheduled for either late November or early December, which, again, I know some people think, you know, this is not a good time to write business. People don't want to spend extra money. Listen, people are doing nothing but spending money in November and December. It's a great time to write business, and Brian's 24 out of 26 is just proof of that. Let me go to Judy. Some people call her Judy Thompson, but her name is Judy Johnston. Judy, thanks for being on here this morning. Any thoughts that you have here about the holiday season?
Piggybacking on Adam and Brian, of course. We're fortunate enough to have our database available for us, so we don't have to leave anything to chance. Go through and see who you have not talked to. I'm hitting this month, well, I started last month, hitting heavy on those that haven't had an enrollment for a while, haven't had me in for a while, and I'm hitting on the holiday season coming up. We have a new Identity Shield program. Your current members need to hear about it. Your non-members need to hear about it. They need to get protected before Black Friday, So I'm hitting on that, and I'm not leaving anything to chance. We have, I feel, a three-day weekend with an extra hour packed in. So we have today, Saturday, and Sunday to look up and schedule as many of those as we can efficiently. So we're not just saying, who should I call on today? You should have a plan in place by Monday morning.
I love that. You know, a big, thank you, Judy, for sharing that. A big, I would say, skill or an important skill in this business is being able to create urgency. And it's something that you really have to create most of the time. Now, That's not the case all of the time. For example, if an owner of a company says in a board meeting this morning to the HR director, you better have me a legal and identity theft plan, and you better decide on that before the end of the week or before the end of next week. If that happens and then you call that company, the urgency is already there. But that's not typical. In fact, that doesn't happen very often. The reality is most of the time when we reach out to a company, when we prospect a company, they're not already thinking about specifically our programs, although they might be thinking about voluntary benefits and how to enrich their benefits package, or they might be thinking about how to increase productivity, or they might be thinking about how do we decrease absenteeism. Maybe they're thinking about how do we attract the best employees, how do we keep our employees, how do we, that's the reason why so many companies want to enrich their benefits package right now. It's a competitive environment. They're competing against other companies. And all that employees look at is comp and benefits. And so they're either going to have to pay them more or they're going to have to make their benefits package better if they want to keep the good employees that they have. So there are companies that are thinking along the lines of the issues that we can help address. But most of the time, we've got to create that urgency. We've got to make this something that they feel like they need to do now. And if we're not very good at creating urgency, all they're going to do is keep putting it off. Decision makers, they're well-intentioned. They like these benefits. But they'll just say, that's fine, but we'll do it next month. We'll do it next year. We'll do it, what Brian said, after the first of the year. That's something that you're going to hear during November and December. So what can we do to create urgency? And Judy mentioned Black Friday. Here's just a good statistic for you. 80% of online shopping takes place between Black Friday and Christmas Day. I know one thing that Judy and Brian and Adam and many of our other top producers are really good at doing is using this holiday rush on identity theft as a reason to get in front of employees and protect them right now. So they'll say to a decision maker, for example, we have, right now is a perfect time to protect your employees because 80% of online shopping takes place between Black Friday and Christmas morning. If they're vulnerable, it's going to be right now. It's going to be in December. Let's get them protected. We've got to get your people protected. That's one way to create urgency for what we have. Another thing that we have available to us is a holiday identity theft workshop, and that kind of creates urgency in and of itself because it's a special workshop that we do during the holiday season. Now, the reality is it's not very different from the regular holiday or the regular identity theft workshop that we do. It's just got kind of a theme to it, and there are a little bit different content in that workshop, but it's a holiday identity theft workshop. And so when you say to a decision maker, we've got a perfect holiday identity theft workshop, it doesn't make sense to do that in January. It makes sense to do it in December. So you're automatically kind of creating some of that urgency. So just kind of keep that in mind. Let me just add just one other thought to this holiday season. This is something that I say every year. And every year, some people take this seriously, and many do not, if I'm just being very transparent with you. But I would challenge you and invite you to take this seriously. Thanksgiving this year is late, which really is kind of a gift because it gives us one extra week of prospecting time. We've got 3 full weeks before the week of Thanksgiving. During that week of Thanksgiving, that is one of the best prospecting times that you're going to find all year. That Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, Thursday, take the day off, go eat turkey and enjoy yourself, put yourself in a food coma, and we'll see you on Friday. But on that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that is a time where the phone is not ringing 16 times a day, like Adam said. That is that 3-day period is a time when a lot of business owners are in the office. They're getting stuff done. But your phone call that day, on that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, those 3 days, your phone call will have a lot greater chance of getting through. If you're prospecting in person, of walking into a business and actually seeing a decision maker will be much higher. And some of those decision makers will say, I've got time right now. Come sit down. So be ready. Be ready with your packet that you could sit down with them right then. But even if you're prospecting on the phone and setting up appointments for later that week or for the next week, or if it's Monday, maybe you're setting that for Wednesday. But though, I'm telling you, the prospecting that you do those 3 days can have a major impact on your December. So I'm not saying don't prospect the next 3 weeks. This is prime prospecting time. In fact, this is crucial prospecting time over the next 3 weeks. What I am saying is don't just take those 3 days off. Don't think that that Thanksgiving day means that it's Thanksgiving week. If you'll take my advice and prospect during those first 3 days of Thanksgiving week, I think that you'll be very, very pleased with the results. So thank you to Judy, Brian, and Adam for their thoughts and perspective. I know we spent some time on that, but I don't know of a better topic that we could spend time on. Obviously, this is crucial right now, that we take full advantage of these 2 months that we have that are special, that are very unique. I love this season for personal reasons. I love the Christmas holiday. It's my favorite time of year. From a business standpoint, it can be, like Brian said, either your best time of the year or it can be a frustrating time of the year, but it all depends on how you and I are willing to prepare starting today. I mean, these next few days here are absolutely crucial. I hope that whatever prospecting goal that you have, I would challenge you to double it. That's how important these next few days are. Let me go ahead now, and I'm going to open up the lines, and we'll just take as many questions as we can over the next few minutes here. But think again, what questions do you have for our top producers? If you had Brian Fahili and you had a 30-minute drive, what kind of questions would you ask him? And I'll go ahead and open up the line. I will say this. Most questions are absolutely applicable, because if it's a question that you have, it's probably a question that someone else has. If it's a question, though, that is really unique to you, I'll probably just jump in and ask that we maybe address that offline. But again, most questions that we get on this roundtable call are absolutely applicable, because if you're dealing with a challenge or if you found something that you're having a hard time overcoming, I guarantee other people have faced that same thing as well. So hold on just 1 second. I'll open up the lines. And I should ask you to just make sure that your phone is muted if you're not talking. If we have background noise on your line, the system will mute you out, and then you'll have to hit *6 to unmute at that time. But let me open it up. What questions do you have for our top producers this morning?
Good morning, Mr. Mike Richards, Johnny Thomas.
Hey, Johnny. How are you doing, brother?
Wonderful, wonderful. My question I want to bring to the group, and this would be through the certified trainers, field trainers. Would there be a recommendation as far as for long distance if a Success Team World would implement like a long distance DM Zoom?
Yeah.
And even for groups, possibly, I don't know if anyone have done this or if there's something that we would implement. That's the question.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, Johnny. And so let me just make sure that we're all on the same page. What Mr. Thomas is talking about is if you have if you've got a meeting, a decision maker that you want to present to, and maybe you don't have a field trainer in your area, do we have any experience doing kind of a long distance decision maker meeting via Zoom or via a webinar? I'll definitely open that up to our panel here this morning and get their thoughts. I think that's great. I've got some thoughts on that as well, but let me open it up first.
Well, Mike, this is Brian. And folks, I'm sorry. I've never done one of those. I wouldn't even know how to do it. But it's, you know, I know people have done it, and it's been successful for them, Johnny, but I myself personally have never done one. I think everybody's pretty familiar with the fact that I'm not very good with computers or anything else. So most of my stuff is face-to-face. But anyhow.
Yeah, no, that's okay. And I'll say this. There's no way to duplicate the connection that you make with a person when you're face-to-face. I mean, that's never going to happen online. But we have done a lot of these web meetings, Zoom meetings, or webinars, and they can be effective. Judy and Adam, do you have any experience with that at all?
This
Unlike
is Adam.
Brian.
Go ahead, Judy.
Go,
Adam. Go ahead, please. Ladies first.
I'm like Brian. I'm not techy enough, and I don't want to do Zooms. I don't want to spend my time doing that. I will tell people I'll do a three-way call. If they're in with the decision-maker themselves, having the meeting, I will hop on the line and answer any questions they may have. My best advice as a field trainer is use your field trainer in your area. I mean, I'll drive 3 hours to do a field training, but it's much better because we know how to read people as they're talking. And if you're on a Zoom or a three-way, you can't be reading what that decision maker is thinking about.
That's a good point. Yeah, and like I said, we've done them. We've had success with them. They're not gonna duplicate a face-to-face. And so you have to have that expectation going in. But I do know that there are people that are in a situation where they don't have a field trainer. And so, you know, that is a viable kind of second option. Adam, what thoughts do you have on it?
Yes, thank you. I'm all about getting comfortable being uncomfortable. Like, I loathe Zoom and all the tech stuff that I don't know how to do that scares me. So I am jumping in off the deep end, like, eyes closed almost. Like, I'm forcing myself to do it. We have to have as many arrows in the quiver as possible. Absolutely, Judy, Brian, Mike, the personal one-on-one decision-maker meeting is hands down the best option. The second best option, in my opinion, is what Judy said. Get a field trainer so he or she can be that personal, and they're willing to travel, right? So they can be that personal option. However, the last thing I ever want to be doing is sitting at my desk when the decision maker is in Michigan and I'm in Kentucky and he says, hey, let's do a Zoom real quick, right? Because that's happened 10 times in the last month for me. Not always decision maker. Sometimes it's other things. But the phrase, I mean, bottom line is, you know, cell phones used to not exist, right? And now everyone is holding one in their hand, period. The way of the dodo and all that. The worst case scenario is someone says, hey, jump on a Zoom real quick, and I'm not super comfortable doing it. So I'm forcing myself to jump in that way. I might even get crazy and do a few Zoom DM meetings and volunteer it. I just don't like being afraid. I felt like I was afraid for a lot of my life, and I don't like feeling that way. So I'm going to force myself to figure out the Zoom DM and have that as a tool when I do need it.
Yeah, I mean, I've done enough of those to know that, yes, it's a way to share information. But again, I want to be real clear on that. It's not my preferred method. You know, I would much prefer to be in front of a decision maker, but there are cases where that might not be the case. And so let me just share with you again, Legal Shield has a list of field trainers that they have on LS Engage. Yeah, I think you have to go under resources and then I think it's the enrollment or B2B enrollment, Business Solutions enrollment tab, if I'm not mistaken, has a list there of field trainers, and you can see who's in your area. Let me say this as well. Field training, I think often we look at field training as kind of a give-and-take relationship. So in other words, the person being trained is taking and the field trainer is giving, it really needs to be a give-and-give relationship. Both parties need to bring something to the table. And so as a field trainer, and all three of these individuals that I'm talking with here this morning, Brian, Judy, and Adam, are exceptional field trainers. If you had a chance to have one of them in on a meeting, that would be a no-brainer. They're going to do a fantastic job. What are they bringing to the table? They're bringing expertise. They're bringing experience. They're bringing the ability to respond to just about any objection, to any question that the decision maker has. They're going to respond the right way. They've been doing this a long time. They've had success doing it. They're all three ring earners. They know what they're talking about. That's what they're bringing to the table. The question is, as a field trainee, what are you willing to bring to the table? And listen, some of our folks have 20, 30 years of experience outside of Legal Shield, and I like that, and I respect that, but that doesn't count. You can't count that as something that you bring to the table, because as great as it is, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing by any means, but that experience is different than the experience that you gain in Legal Shield. Doing this, specifically offering voluntary benefits to decision makers of companies, that's a different skill than selling something else. So what are you bringing to the table as a field trainee? And the answer really needs to be, who do you know? Who do you have a connection with? Who can you open a door to? And that's how it becomes a give-give relationship, not a give-take. If it's a give-take, field training doesn't work. And so what kind of connections are you bringing to the table? What kind of doors are you able to open? And you need to make it attractive, frankly. Now, maybe you don't have a ton of personal contacts. Now, I could argue with you on that, but I won't. So are you willing to get on and cold call then? Are you willing to get on and hit the phones and make 50 calls a day and set up a bunch of appointments and make sure they're good appointments? Make sure that it's an actual decision maker. Make sure that it's a company that's worth doing business. I'm not going to get in my car and drive 3 hours to go talk to a company that has 4 employees. So if you want a field trainer to make a sacrifice for you, you've got to be willing to make a sacrifice. You've got to be willing to do some work on the front end to make sure that the groups that you're setting up are viable groups, that they're good groups, that they're the types of groups that we want to get in front of. You know, there are not a lot of transient workers, and they've got stability, and it's the kind of industry that we're wanting to be in. Not that there's only one or two specific industries. We work across a lot of different industries, but there are definitely industries that are not as attractive. You know, if you called me and said, hey, I got a connection into a Taco Bell, I might want to go eat there, but I'm not. That's not an ideal group for me to go out of contact. So you got to think about that. What are you bringing to the table as a field trainee? Your field trainer is going to bring expertise, experience, and the ability to close. What are you willing to bring to the table as a field trainee? And Johnny, I know I went off of your specific question there. I just wanted to kind of address field training in general, but I do hope that that's helpful. And again, I think that's a great discussion point to have. What other questions do we have for our panel this morning?
Yes, good morning, Mike. This is Jennifer Strobel calling from New York.
Yeah, hey, Jennifer, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Who in the audience would like to share their best, enrollment practice? I have something coming up, and I had to actually convince a decision maker to have me come in because they had polled the employees and told me, no, nobody's interested. And I got them reengaged by saying, well, you know, we found that when we do a presentation for the employees, we have a much higher participation rate. So it might be worth having me come in. So I don't want to bomb this, so I want to come into this group, and I want to make sure that I've got a really, a high-quality enrollment presentation. So I'd like to hear from somebody that's had much success doing this, and what type of presentation are they giving?
Well, let me tell you, you're in luck because our panel here this morning has a lot of experience doing exactly what you're talking about. They've had a lot of successful enrollments, and I think that is a perfect question. Give us one or two best practices when it comes to that enrollment presentation. And Judy, Brian, and Adam, I'll open it up to you guys.
I'll jump first.
It all depends on the enrollment. You know, there's so many factors. Is it payroll? Is it universal? Is it mandatory? Is it voluntary to come? I mean, you have to know first what kind of presentation it's going to be.
Okay, I can answer that. It's going to be a lunch and learn. So hopefully they're going to come. It's going to bring a pizza, and it's going to be voluntary.
Okay, so what I do, I have one coming up. I ask the HR person to send out the one-minute survey with the RSVP to the luncheon. In that survey and that email, I've been adding everyone who brings the survey to Judy at this luncheon will be in a drawing for a $25 gift card.
because more people are likely to come then. And those that do come, even if they don't enroll, you're going to have their information. I've been doing a lot of survey follow-up and got about 10 applications last month with just survey follow-up on weekends. So that's how I've been doing
it. I love
it.
No, that's a great idea
because that way you're given an incentive for the people to come, and we've done that in the past. Whoever shows up will get a flat screen TV, and back in the day it was DVD players because we could buy those real cheap. Of course, nobody uses them hardly anymore, but we've used that many, many times. The other thing I would say is if the person says, okay, I'll let you meet with the employees, but it's really hard for us to get them together. We don't like to shut down. I can only give you 5 or 10 minutes, blah, blah, blah. I've learned here in the last couple of years, I'll make the suggestion, look, I don't want to interrupt anything here, but they need this information. It's very imperative to them and their families that they see this. And if you will, how about I just set up in a room and we bring them in one at a time? I won't take but 5 or 10 minutes. That way you don't have to shut down production. Everybody doesn't have to leave their offices or anything. I'll meet with them one at a time, or I'll even suggest, if it is an office building, I'll say, well, I can just go around office to office, and if they're not busy, I can go in and sit down with them real quick, give them this information. And, the one-on-ones to me, they take longer. I mean, I may be there all day long or have to come back the next day to finish up. But your sign-up rate is huge. But if it is going to be the group meeting, I totally agree with what Judy just said. Throw in an incentive for them to show up. Not only are they going to get a free lunch, but they got a shot at getting a $25 gift card or a small flat-screen TV or anything like that. And more people will sign up and come.
And you can use that. You can leverage it two ways as well when you do that drawing. I know we've talked about this before, but you can do, everyone gets a ticket just for showing up. And then those who sign up for the benefit will give you 5 or 6 additional tickets, or I've done 7 additional tickets into the drawing as well. That was something I learned from Dave Paperno. And it's a way to use that same drawing, whatever the gift is, the $50 gift card or whatever. It's a way to use that same gift two different ways. Get people in the seats, but then also give them a reason to sign up as well. Mr. Adam Thompson,
hey, Mike,
do we still have you? Oh, yeah, go ahead, Judy.
The other thing I do is after the enrollment, I have a lot of information. I do that anyone who signs up by the end of the month is in a drawing for a $50 gift card. And I send emails and call them and follow up on those and keep it going all month.
That's good.
There you go.
Mr. Adam Thompson, do we still have you on the line? I know that you were driving or you were in a kind of a spotty area. If we have you, any thoughts that you have on best enrollment practices?
Yes, absolutely. I don't remember the young lady's first name that asked the question, but something that has served me for years and years is literally at the end when you're doing that close, get them to write. It's so simple, but people forget it on a regular basis. Just have those ink pens out, have the lids off, have the application immediately in front of them the whole time so nothing is being sprung on them mentally. They need to know from the first word you speak that at the end they're going to be asked to fill that out. And no words have to be, said to say that. They just need to see it on a paper application. And to break that mental barrier, to break that I don't want to be sold, but once I decide I want to buy, I need to be helped barrier, they can write down, your phone number on the top of the app. They can write down, we're most of the time taking these apps home with us. It's different than it was a few years ago with the triplicate applications, but just get them writing on that app, get that date filled out. And just like Dave Paperno said, make sure you say the date wrong. I'm reading a book right now. I'm reading a book right now called Persuasion. And Persuasion is a method that says, hey, go into the room that you hope you're in control of and let them feel like they're in control. And one way you do that is literally you're stumbling in the room. It sounds ridiculous, but it works. You're saying the date wrong on purpose. Say, what's today, the 31st? And then everyone says, no, it's the 1st. And they feel like they're in control when, in fact, you're deciding what control to give, right? So having that phone number written down on the top, don't you write it down. Have them write it. You know, get that date going and so on and so forth. And then assume everything. Assume that the entire room wants it. I got the privilege to sit in a room with Rob Best a few months ago.
Where you gotta go?
And I don't know if you guys can still hear me. I got the privilege of sitting in a room with Rob Best. And for brand new folks, he's the top guy every single time, period. It's like a Michael Phelps deal, right? I watched this man assume every single person in the room was going to buy this. Not in a holier-than-thou sort of, you better do this way. He just said, no, this makes sense. You know, we're all going to do this. Let's go ahead and get these filled out real quick, that kind of thing. You know, and that's what I'll say with that, Mike. Just assume everyone and get them writing on the app.
Now, that's fantastic, Adam. That is really, really great advice. And Jennifer, let me come back and say another great opportunity for what you're talking about. This is a great opportunity for all of us because we're all in a situation where we want to be the best that we can be in an enrollment. This Tuesday, we've got Mr. Scott Brooks that's going to be doing a live webinar, and it's called Leave Nothing to Chance. Some of us have heard this before, but it's a fantastic training. It's one of my favorite trainings that I've ever heard, and he's going to be doing that webinar live at 4 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday. And that would be something that I would recommend for all of our associates, all of our team, to plug into and be a part of. We're going to get to hear from him twice, actually. He's speaking on our Monday morning call as well. But that Tuesday afternoon is just an exceptional opportunity to listen and learn. And for someone like Jennifer, That's a great opportunity because you've got this enrollment coming up, so it gives you a chance to kind of go through a checklist and ask yourself, is there anything else that I can do before I even show up to make sure that that enrollment is successful?
Great. Well, that's great, and thank you, everybody, for your feedback.
Absolutely.
So Mike,
that's great. Yeah.
Mike, this is Pam.
Hey, Pam.
In Boise. Question, where do we find that you were just talking about, and Scott Brooks, and you mentioned earlier that you've got a call. Go ahead.
No, that's great. It would have been smart of me to mention that in promoting it. So thank you for the reminder. If you are not yet registered for that webinar on Tuesday, folks, you need to go to www.solutionswebinar.com. Go there right now, www.solutionswebinar.com. And it's solutions with an S at the end and at the beginning, www.solutionswebinar.com. All one word, solutionswebinar.com. You can register. There's no cost to register for it. You'll get reminders the day before and an hour before the actual training. And then that will also keep you registered. Because in December, we've got another training that we're going to be doing that first week of December. And so it's kind of a series, a webinar series that you register for. But solutionswebinar.com is the link to go register for that. Well, folks, I'm going to, call it. Yeah,
Mike,
go ahead.
You mentioned at the beginning of the call that you were doing a Facebook Live in an hour. Is that open to us, or where do we find it?
Excuse me, Pam, hold on. I'm sorry, I had a cough there. So I'm just going to be doing that. It's on Legal Shield Associate Success is the Facebook group. And to be real honest, I don't know that I've ever done a Facebook Live before, so I hope it works, frankly. I saw that Don Thompson just did one. I'm like, you know, what did Adam say earlier about forcing himself to be uncomfortable? So I'm going to force myself to be uncomfortable here, and I'm going to go try to do this Facebook Live. All I'm going to be talking about is the incentives that I talked about at the beginning of this call. So If y'all want to check it out, that is totally fine, but it's going to be the same information. You'll just get to see my bright and smiling face this morning. So I'm going to call our roundtable call here a little bit quick, or a little bit early this morning. And, again, a humongous thank you to Mr. Brian Fahili, Ms. Judy Johnston, and Mr. Adam Thompson for joining this morning, for being an incredible panel. As always, one of my favorite calls that we do, this call is always good because it focuses on real-life situations that you and I face every day. Let's take the advice that was given this morning. Let's go out and make this a huge prospecting. I know it's Friday today. Finish the week strong, but then let's make November a huge prospecting month. The companies that we contact today, some of those we're going to be enrolling their employees, like Jennifer is talking about, before the end of the month of November. And some we're going to be enrolling that first couple weeks of December. This is going to lead to real income for you during this holiday season, which I know so many of us are wanting and needing. Let's go provide the activity to make that happen. Again, a huge thank you to everyone who joined today, especially our panelists. God bless every one of y'all. And let's make it a great day.